Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey babes. I don't know why, but it brings me great joy to call you all babes. This week I'm releasing a Hoovering I actually recorded a month or two ago, but I thought now is the time, as lockdown here in the UK at least eases again, and gyms reopen again, and the sun starts to shine occasionally. It seems that a lot of us, not surprisingly, are feeling a bit sort of weird or anxious or annoyed with themselves for caring about their bodies. So I thought it was high time to introduce you to Nikki Hobday, an amazing personal trainer and theatre performer, because if now isn't the right time to eat a massively sweaty burger followed by a chocolate bar sucked through a cup of tea with an official fitness person, whenever bloody is. Thanks for listening, first of all, though, to the Hoovering Pod, and if you wouldn't mind telling other people about it, that would be great. You can do it to their face again now. If you're outside, you might have to shout because of the wind. But do it. One way of letting other people know about this podcast is to give it a 5-star review and subscribe to it. That sort of helps it work its way up the charts and ladders. If you want to help the podcast financially, I'd be very pleased. You can give one-off payments using Acast Supporter. If you're thinking, I would like to give you a fiver once and then never talk about it again. Or you can become a monthly financial helper from as little as £2 a month by becoming my patron. Go to patreon.com/thehoovingpod and you'll see all sorts of podcast related guff that I will swap in exchange for your hard earned pennies. Stuff like guest recipes and lots of completely exclusive content. For example, Nikki and I talked for considerably longer than the podcast girth allows. And so there is some properly brilliant hoovering that is going to be exclusively for my patrons. Okay, last thing to tell you about before we get into it is that I'm feeling optimistic. Kill me. I've got rescheduled tour dates. They're on my website, jessicafostercue.com. If you keep an eye on there, I'll shout about it here, but I don't know exactly when they'll go up. But some London dates are going to be added soon as well. Just a handful of warm-up dates. And I think that's for something big for me. That's as much as I can say about us at the moment. But there are some London dates to be added. Other than that, these are the only tour dates that made it through the last fucking year. But, I mean, if you're looking at that, I've had some tweets and some people on Instagram stuff saying, boo, you know, I'm sort of gutted. Why aren't you coming back to insert place name here? And there are some cities I am particularly heartbroken about not being able to make it back to. It's not because I didn't want to or I'm too lazy. It's because the theatre didn't have, the venue or the theatre didn't have dates that weren't like way into the future. And I can't keep doing the same show for the rest of my life. But there will be future gigs and future shows, lots and lots of them. And they will be, all being well with the COVIDness, all flipping over the country. I'm not a snob. I'll come to wherever you live at some point, I promise. All right, let's get into it. Nikki and me hoovered over the Zooms. Sorry about the eating noise. It's all me. I don't know how to eat a big, beautiful burger in any other way than like a fucking animal. So deal with it. You'll be relieved to know it's over quite quickly. I was very hungry. Body size and calories are mentioned in this episode, but I believe always in a very perfunctory way. However, if you are avoiding that sort of chat completely at the moment, please know that this episode might not be for right now for you. Yeah, and that's it. I challenge you not to come away from this one blooming peckish. Hello.
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 It's officially begun. I am coughing because I've probably maybe made a terrible mistake. But first of all, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I'm fine.
It's so nice to meet you virtually. So yes. We've both brought a food item to this party, and it is a party.
We have.
And yours, right. Which is the savoury item.
Yes.
So we're beginning with it because we're not murderous.
No, murderous.
You said to get a jalapeno griller, which is a new type of vegan burger from the company Wicked. I think predominantly
Wicked Kitchen,
sold.
Yeah.
Wicked Kitchen. Sold often in Tesco's, maybe exclusively. I don't know. I'm not in marketing. I couldn't find them, but I kept looking until last night. And because you had been like, I'll drive you some round. I'm going to drive you some round.
No, I literally would have done that. Yeah.
No, but I couldn't bear it on a Sunday night to get you. Well, and we've not met in real life yet. To drive to fucking Catford to make sure I had a jalapeno griller. So, because Tesco's, it's not there. You haven't got Wicked Kitchen jalapeno grillers in Catford's several Tesco's yet.
That's ridiculous.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah. So... Well, they did have, and what I got, because actually somebody, I have a Patreon tier where they can sort of dare me to eat things. About a year and a half ago, somebody said, eat a Beyond Burger, fake burger.
Oh, yes. Also nice.
I have now had them and they are bloody delish, but I've not had one on the podcast because at the time they only sold them in like, I think, TGI Fridays and one other sort of expensive Soho burger place. But now you can get them in the supermarket. So I've got one of them. But because I was so sad about not having a jalapeno griller, what I've done is grated a scotch bonnet onto my brioche bun.
Brilliant.
Near some mayonnaise, near the cup of tea.
I've got mine at the ready.
Everything could be okay.
I think it will. Now, what I will say, Jess, is you do at some point need to try these grillers.
It's an absolute promise.
I can tell from your Scotch bonnet gratings there that you're not a fan. I mean, you're not afraid of the heat.
No.
And there is a warmth that comes through on the griller.
Right.
That I think you'll appreciate.
Right. So what's happened is I've just eaten a bit of tomato while you were talking there.
That's gone straight to the back of the throat, hasn't it?
Yeah, I am coughing just from the air above my burger. I've got a bit of a cough happening, which doesn't bode that well. It's good listening, I imagine, what's about to happen to me.
Yeah.
But Nikki, are you up for doing most of the chatting? If my throat closes up, could you take over the chat?
Great. Type in the box what you want me to say.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we just do
it
via the chat.
For both of us, yeah.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
It really does burn.
We're going to crack on with this?
That really does burn, yeah. I think we probably should crack on with this and then we'll try talking again afterwards. I did take your hint on the brioche bun. I bloody love a brioche bun.
So do I, and it really can class up a burger, I find. Yeah. A burger from home.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Right. Oh, God. Yes, please.
I'm going in. For God's sake.
Fucking. Yes, please. Fuck.
Oh, can I ask you about condiments?
Yeah. You can.
What have you got going on in there?
Do you know what? I've kept it so simple. I've got form, Nikki, for really overdoing it. And, like, you just there's too many things to taste them all. I've got some Dorset smoked chilli sauce that was a Christmas present from my missus. I'm from Dorset, from the Dorset Chilli Company. And I thought, no, not today. Almost any other day that would be in there. And I thought, you're grating.
Not with a Scotch,
Scotch bonnet.
Yeah.
Probably half of it actually made it in. Into a burger. Don't add another chilli element. So
no,
I've just, it's just
not.
Mayonnaise. I've got some sort of spiky lettuce that came in the veg box. A really lovely tomato. And on the vine. So you know you get the tomatoes that it's not quite.
On the vine.
An, yeah. On the vine, it's you can smell. You can smell the vine on it. It's not quite a whole. It's one of those ones. It's not quite an adult tomato, but nor is it a baby or a cherry.
Yes.
It's somewhere in between. It's a teenager. Yes, exactly. Adolescent tomato.
Firm slice through or?
Very nice. By tomorrow, it might be almost saggy skinned. Yes. Yes. By tomorrow, she'll be under pressure to get work done.
Yeah. You've got her at the right age.
I have. I've got her in a sexual peak. But before she's insecure about it. Yeah, I've got... Yeah, it was absolutely lovely. And it is bloody delish, even with that heat. It needed... Mm. I couldn't... That Scotch bonnet can't be delivered to me on its own. It needed to be encased in the rest of this. Talk me through the absolute... In as much detail as you can muster, the contents of your burger tube, please.
Oh, I could do the podcast solely on that.
Stop
me if it gets boring.
If you're happy. Yeah, no. We'll just sort of pop some chat on the end about anything.
Exactly. Stick it in right at the end.
Yeah.
What I will just add to what you were saying about yours is I think the brioche, the sweetness of that might help with the Scotch bonnet, take some of the heat out because you want the balance, don't you?
There's a load of dairy in brioche as well, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, probably. I did say, are you vegan?
No. Really lapsed. Once upon a time. Every now and again.
Tried it.
Yeah.
Dabbled.
For a year. Dabbled. Flirted. Really flirted.
It was a phase.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. When I first started the podcast, I really was quite vegan. And so anyone who's listened to it for all 3 years has watched a really steady and tumultuous decline into a pretty much a pescatarian, most of the time vegetarian. I don't eat meat or fish at home. My partner is a proper vegetarian. But if there's a takeaway or a restaurant, I'm getting fish in my life. And every now and again, meat.
Same.
Happy days.
Happy days.
It is, isn't it? It's like, and then you've got no absolute rules, which for me personally are a bit of a no-no.
Exactly. No, yeah. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Flexibility.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Balance.
And balance.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now please may I know everything that's inside your jalapeno griller.
Well,
and also it's a bit pervy, but can I have a really good look at it? Is it as thick as mine?
Absolutely. No. Oh. I wish, I do want to drive one round. I mean, I do live in North London, so it is quite a drive, isn't it?
It's probably illegal at time of speaking.
Yeah, because we are in lockdown.
Although you could say it's a food drop, which I think is allowed for.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, is it weird to send you a fridge item in the post? Probably. No, but you do, honestly, you need to try these, because... Okay. I've been through a lot of burgers, and I think this is up there.
Okay.
So that's why I suggested it. Anyway, I've gone for the brioche.
Yep.
Because that just makes a burger, I find.
I
don't mind another bread, but that is the best. I made a burger sauce, an absolute burger twat.
Yeah, please. I want to know all about it.
Do you know what is in a burger sauce? Do you know how to make it?
Is it a relish? Do you mean like a burger relish?
Yeah, I'm talking a classic burger relishy sauce that you'll get in a burger when you order a burger out.
No, I don't. In my head, what it looks like is like a more...
Yeah.
It's like a cross between a chilli sauce and a salsa. Again, an adolescent, if one's the baby, one's the adult. What we've got here is like, in terms of chunkiness of innards, But that's what I'm looking at. I'm probably looking at oniony things and tomatoey things with a few green flecks. Don't know what they are.
Right.
And am I? Is it quite sweet?
It's quite sweet. But right. you're off, Jess. I'll tell you what's in it.
Fine. Thank
you. Much to my surprise, recently.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I bloody love a burger sauce. And that is the one thing that for me will separate a burger at home mm-hmm. to a burger when I'm out.
Yep.
Occasionally, I have bought a burger sauce from the kind of jar section of, you know, you can buy them readily available. And a few weeks ago, I thought, I wonder what's in that? Because what I tend to do at home is just mix most of the condiments that are in my fridge. Yeah. And turns out that's what burger sauce is.
Oh.
It's tomato, mustard, mayo, and a bit of gherkin juice. And a gherkin, if you've got one. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God. This feels like, do you remember when you found out that the pink sauce for prawn salad was just ketchup and mayo?
Yeah, it's that.
And everyone was like,
equivalent. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
So the sweetness, great. You're getting that from the tomato sauce.
Okay, from the ketchup.
You're getting a little bit of a, it goes a bit runnier with the juice of the gherkins, whatever. But you know, and most, you've got those things in your fridge, if you like a condiment.
Yeah.
So
fab.
Thrilled
just
about
want
that.
To come back to the burger bread issue.
Sorry, yeah.
They had one in there, a bun in there, that they were calling some sort of Yorkshire cake, but it was next to the brioche, but it was less brown, it was yellow. And I thought, I want to try that. It looked like it was made of a similar, it had a similar squilch to a brioche, but it didn't have the same, I imagine it lacked the sweetness.
Mm.
I'd try that.
I might go as far to describe that as a BAP, but I don't know if that's
it.
Not
could have
what
been
BAP
a BAP. I think I've got fussier about a burger bun as I've got older. The idea of one of those sad old wholemeal, dusty old wholemeal.
No, that is a family barbecue at best.
At best, even then, like it's sort of up there with wholemeal pasta as no. Fuck off. Taste of musk. Is it?
Yeah,
carpet?
It's a musky, bog standard.
Yeah,
but you can do better, basically.
It tastes of. It imagine suckling a tweedy jacket.
Yes, exactly. But the elbow patch of one.
Yes,
yeah.
Maybe corduroy. Looking corduroy.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
No
and
need.
Even worse, I would say, one of those sort of plasticky, arid, sesame topped. Really scraping the barrel there. That's just dust and glue, isn't it?
That's dust and glue. And it is scraping the barrel. Again, I feel like it has got a place at a family barbecue.
Do you?
I don't know why specifically a family barbecue, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that I imagine my mum might get in.
I'd rather just, if that makes me a snob and I'm putting my hands up to that, but if that was the only option, I'd rather just have the burger and something maybe some cheese or a tomato balancing.
A naked burger.
Yeah, a naked burger and look like some sort of loser carbivore. The other use I found for a Scotch bonnet is grated into a fit peanut sauce to drizzle on something.
Ooh.
So you've got peanut butter, soy, lime juice, grated. Oh, yeah.
That sounds amazing. Can you taste the flavour of a Scotch bonnet, or are you just getting heat from that?
No, I think it is a very fresh type of heat. It's not tomato-y. It's quite different. It's quite, as I was about to say, spicy, which is a fucking ridiculous way to describe a chilli. It's like calling a wine
grapey. I know what you mean.
There's
a difference between spicy and hot.
Yeah, and actually I think some chilies, the ones we're sort of used to traditionally in the UK, those sort of longer ones, they're so mild and almost tomato-y. They're quite fruity.
Yeah.
And these aren't fruity. I think they're like earthy or something. There's something shocking. And then it's over.
Yeah.
Punchy.
I see. Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Maybe they're like doing karate chops on you, taste-wise.
Yeah.
It's that kind of experience.
Brilliant. Sure, well, I have actually finished my burger.
Okay, great. Well,
so, sorry, I did wolf that down.
Yeah, fair enough. I've been so excited about mine, but not as excited as I am to never stop talking. Talk to me about eating growing up. I've got no idea about.
Yeah.
We've just met. I want to know about eating growing up. Where? How? Who? Everything.
Well, I grew up with, well, I actually grew up in the north, England, in Cheshire, just outside of Manchester with my family. And that is my mum, my dad, and my two younger siblings.
Lovely.
And food-wise, I was thinking about this. I feel like I was completely oblivious about food, really, for until maybe I went to uni, maybe a bit after.
Oblivious just, in the sense that you just never thought about it.
I just never thought about it, Jess. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought about it when I was eating it. And I loved it. But it was just very kind of, I was really kind of uneducated about what it was doing to or for my body. And I think I had a really good balance of it. The kind of food we would eat, as you know, my mum looked after us mostly. My dad was at work. And if you, so if you came round to my house for tea, you'd get, my mum used to do this really sweet thing. It would be kind of oven vibes, or she'd make a mince, that sort of thing.
Lovely.
A classic mince.
Yeah.
And I remember, do you remember those, like, a bit like chips, potato shapes that were the alphabet bites?
Yes, I do. I don't know that we ever had those as often as we had smiley faces, but it's the same vibe, isn't it?
Same vibe. Yeah. Very similar
sort of
vibe.
Slightly crusty coating on a sort of really molten inside. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, I think they were called Alpha Bites. Yeah. Absolute staple in our freezer.
Yes.
And
yes.
When I had friends round, my mum would spell the name out of my friends in Alpha Bites, which obviously you'd be a bit gutted if your name was just Jess. Can you go with Jessica?
Yeah, do you mind?
No, but she'd keep a pile aside, but it was just when tea was ready, would go down and
see
these plates. It was so sweet.
Oh, that is so sweet. You would be like giving the longest, but it's actually Jessica Alice Foster King. Can you not?
Exactly.
I love it. What a sweet mum.
I know. I have got the sweetest mum, but I feel like I didn't quite. I think I appreciated that. I don't think I was a complete arsehole about it. But
what were your parents like about fussiness? Was there any countenance? Was there any room for fussiness if it was if there were three of you? And
well, we weren't very fussy, really. I don't think. And in general, I think in the family, it's a bit. It just feels a bit awkward to be fussy about something. So they'd be very accommodating. But I did have a brief stint of being gluten free because I thought it made me bloated a few years ago, and it was a nightmare for my nana because you know she'd be like, "Oh, go on, just a bit of flour." And it felt really awkward and impolite to be like, I'm just trying to see if it's, you know, I mean, turns out I wasn't allergic to gluten and thrilled to have it back in my life. But it's that kind of vibe in my family. So I think the same with the smaller families, you know, we kind of ate what we were given and appreciated it. And
I liked it. It's very much the nature of the podcast. Lots of clinking and clanking, and at the moment nearby traffic or pets. There's been a lot of pets on recent episodes. The reason I ask is because for some reason your mum's kindness with the Alpha Bites really reminded me of how disdainful my mum was of anyone I brought back who didn't eat everything, because I think she'd been spoilt by a child who was intensely omnivorous. And actually, to this day, both my parents, they've not been together for a very long time, love talking about disdainfully, playfully, not cruelly, but about people who are fussy. And I don't think I've mentioned that really on the podcast. It's so... You know, and my dad.
So you'd know people who were like vegetarian?
Yeah, you know, they'll be like, my dad will love to talk about an uncle that only really eats potatoes, you know, would never have a curry or never even had a red sauce or, you know, imagine. And you're like, I suppose actually, it was more of a to do for that generation. And whereas my mum would be like, well, you can't go wrong with a spaghetti bolognese. And then every now and again, she'd encounter a child that didn't even like that. And she'd be like,
I can't do it.
And it's not, you know, I understand when you've got parents who've got several kids to feed, you know, and you're doing something different for each of them every night. And you're like, I'm done with this. Whereas Yeah, my parents just had the one child to share between two houses who would eat anything. So,
oh, brilliant, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what the root of their annoyance is with fussiness. But, yeah, I think it just gets drilled in, doesn't it, in some childhoods, like, you get what you're given. And it's sort of no bad thing. I can't... I'm a big hypocrite. I'm really good. I'm taking myself around in circles here. But on the one hand, I can't imagine giving my kid more than one option, like being like, here's this for you and here's this for you. It took me double time. But I've only got one kid who does eat everything. So I got very lucky.
Perfect.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
So I learnt about you from a former guest, mutual friend, the amazing Rachel Mars. And she told me she had you as her personal trainer when she was on a mission to look like Tom Daley.
Yeah.
And that you had lots of amazing chats about queerness and things. And you are also a performer. And that you talked all sorts of things about gender and bodies and everything. So immediately I was like, I want to get to know this lady.
Aww.
Get her on my podcast. Sharpish. So I want to talk about... Well, I want to talk about the breadth of your work, really. But should we start with the personal training business?
Let's start with that.
I don't think you can extract... I don't think you can disentangle eating and bodies and body image. So I think it's... I love getting people on the podcast who understand about fitness. But it also sounds like... You're very down with... It says on your public profiles and stuff that you do a very, very personalised personal training. And I guess that's... I mean, talk me through that. Like, just an acknowledgement of the unending whirlwind of baggage that comes with each individual that might come to you for one reason or another.
Yes,
as a PT.
Exactly. And I want to welcome that baggage. And also, I think, you know, personal training is personal. It's supposed to be bespoke to the person... that's coming to you, and obviously that is about that person's body and that person's desires and goals.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, you know, my really personal training should be no more personal than any personal trainer's service. But for me, it felt like a kind of important additional word to slip on there, because I feel like the word personal has got lost in the world of personal training. And especially with in light of queerness, really. And actually, I'm not even just talking about sexuality and gender when I talk about queerness in training. I talk about lifestyle, because as a personal trainer, we are taught, when you qualify, you're taught how, you know, the kind of anatomy, physiology, training systems, moves, exercises, all of that, obviously. And then everyone is kind of divided into a general population clients and kind of athletes and people like you, the personal trainers, you know, like,
really?
So we are elite, not elite, but it's like we are a different brand of people, because we train all the time and we, you know, we kind of know what we're doing in the gym, or and not in a not in a wanker's way, but just in a kind of, there's gen pop clients and there's personal trainers,
right?
And I just found it kind of interesting to be in all of those discussions, because for me, my general population, my network of people is artists, and there's such a queerness to that lifestyle, that the general population clients that we are taught as trainers to know how to speak to and train, and what their kind of goals and desires might be, it's really heteronormative, and it's really binary gendered. It's about the gaze of somebody else, so, you know, like, women want to look like this because of the male gaze and vice versa. Which all the way through I'm sitting there thinking, well, not all men. And then there's also a queerness to the lifestyle, because the reason that I got into fitness was because I was bored. You know, I was in lockdowns and quarantines before they were cool, because if I'm not on tour, I was at home, like, literally kind of, I couldn't really get a job or commit to a gym membership even, because I was going away, you know, I'd be going away for 2 months. So I'd, in between, a way to feel like I've done something with my day after I've sent the one email I need to send, I would like go into the garden and do a HIIT or, you know, I started to learn a bit more about how to move my body, which I personally got from, I also worked in gyms because I always, I worked in the arts and toured, and the kind of performance that I do is like a little bit niche. So, and especially in the UK. So unless you're touring kind of internationally with it, where there's a bit more audience for experimental theatre.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's kind of really few and far between the gigs. It's at an arts centre in the middle of Taunton on a Wednesday. And then the rest of the time, I've got to be working my minimum wage job, whatever that is, to pay my rent.
Yeah.
So that was, first of all, I always worked in catering, but like a dinner lady, dinner person, probably.
Yeah.
And then I had jobs like that. And then I got a job in a gym on a reception. And that's when I met personal trainers and started to kind of feel like, oh, hang on a minute. This world that I always felt was very, very separate to me is actually, oh, it's not as intimidating as I thought. And everyone's really vulnerable in here. And started to learn a bit more about it. And yeah, so that's kind of, then I got into it because of the between touring thing. Then it, it felt a bit contagious because I felt like I would talk to someone about it who's like, oh yeah, I like that too. And I want to do that, but I don't like gyms. And so, and then I just wanted to up my own game in terms of if I was responsible for friends working out or telling them what I was doing or whatever, I wanted to make sure I could do that properly and safely. And then also in like, just to bring it back round with all the kind of queerness and queerness of jobs, lifestyle, sexuality and gender, I wanted to be then a personal trainer who kind of isn't what we might think of as a personal trainer, not because of my body or the way I put it out there, but just because, you know, I get it. I get what it's like to be in the arts or whatever. If that answers your question.
It does.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm really fascinated by the kind of black and white binary view that you get when you're learning, you know, how to encourage people or how to teach people to move their body to achieve different things. It's so interesting, isn't it? My assumption is that it's an assumption, obviously, as you said, that, you know, everyone's either a man or a woman, and that if they're a man, they're like this. If they're a woman, they're like this. And they probably, they they're all straight. Yeah. They probably all work in an office long hours, down all the time, you know, there's no accounting for, I don't know. And I wonder if there's anyone else. But and then to get into like the complications of people's personal needs and history in terms of mental health, in terms of their relationship with eating. Like, I certainly felt like my first experiences with a personal trainer, I still loved them. But over time, I realised I was in a bit of a factory mill in terms of treatment. Like, I could never... it was with the first personal trainer I ever had that I discovered I loved weightlifting, or powerlifting at least. And then still with that same trainer sort of discovering, going through the motions of making my peace with... or not making my peace with, actually. I always loved feeling like I was getting more muscular. But what interesting discussions that threw up with her, actually, and with family members and stuff like that. Like, the looking physically muscly on a woman. But I could never... the short of it is, I could never really genuinely persuade them that I didn't want... to just secretly just really just end up thin, ideally. Yeah. And actually, it was all whilst I was on a journey in therapy to realise that. But still, I mean, I'm in awe of anyone who tries to take on somebody's everything when it comes to that, because also it does feel like a bit of a never-ending journey. I can't pretend that I don't, I still don't love my appearance. I'm not sure a PT can ever fix that. It's such a complicated job if you're going to go, right, I'm going to be prepared to work with someone who's like, I can't talk about eating at all. I just want to do this and this and feel good. Or I'm in a situation where I can't get enough sleep, but I would love to have a tummy like this or whatever. Like, yeah. I guess you get people with totally unrealistic goals. I don't know. I'm just waffling, really. I just think it's an enormous task to take on the entire person, but it is also like... surely what everybody should be attempting to be doing. If yeah. you're taking on... it's such a huge task if someone comes to you and goes... it's such a vulnerable thing, isn't it? To go...
of course it is.
I'd like to change my body in this way.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going... do you know, if they're a woman going, I want to look like... I want to look really ripped and muscly. Yeah. Or yeah. I want to bulk up for this. And they're not an athlete. They are general public.
They're
just a person that doesn't meet the standards of the ones you were told you'd meet.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just about reframing, I think... like, because what you're saying there about having to take on the whole person, that's so true. I mean, anyone who comes to me at the moment, my business is sort of really shaped over the last year lockdown, because obviously touring stopped, so that gave me a bit more time to focus on what my personal training business is. Then I currently work with people who I either meet a bit like this, but on more informal WhatsApp chat, video chat, where we kind of... I'll take someone through a workout, and that's just, so I see them just for the sessions.
Yeah.
And that is about utilizing a home equipment that people have based on what they want. Some people, it's just about motivation and just having someone there to be like, come on, this is what we'll do today. Yeah. And then I also work with a few people on a plan that is a bit more like, here's some guidance for nutrition. Here's a training program for you to stick to. But the thing about that is, it is about taking on this the whole person. So if somebody is, I don't want to promote, which is where it's kind of, I get really interested in that and really sensitive about it on social media. I try not to put posts on about my personal training business all the time, because I don't think that everyone should be trying to get thin or lose weight or whatever, you know. I try and make it clear enough that I am a personal trainer, and let anybody who is seeking one like me surface. And then we start a chat about what that person wants. And with the plans, it's not about putting people on a diet. It's about finding out how, essentially the secret, right, to a kind of transformation plan is just finding out. It's an experiment all the way along. And it's about finding out what is the least amount of exercise I can have you doing, which for a lot of people is taken away all the cardio that they think they've got to do and all the classes that they go to. And it's like, what is the minimum amount of exercise I can give you and the most amount of calories I can put you on for your body to work? And the worst thing about the kind of Instagram culture and all of that about fat loss, it's like, oh, it's about restriction and it's about, you know, breaking your bloody balls because you're working out all the time. I don't work out all the time. I work out like 3 times a week. That's it. And I eat loads. And not because I'm trying to get massive or put on loads of weight, or just because bloody love food. It's great. Yeah. And I need it. And I like to train.
I just want to be happy.
Yeah. And surely that is way more important, because, and And sometimes it's just about trying to get that through to people, like starting work with people. And like you mentioned, sleep. What's your sleep like? Let's look at that first. Well, there's massive, no, you can't it? Change your body if you don't. And that's if you want to change your body, because, you know, in some ways, why question that? But also, you know, if you want to be making any adaptations, whether that's to get stronger, whether that's to get your muscles bigger, or whether that's to lose weight, which are three different training things, like different things. You've just got to kind of get your sleep in place. Hormonally, you need to be in a good place for any of those adaptations to happen. And it's just about consistency. So it's like really simple, not easy, but it's simple. But there's so much shit out there that people take bits from, make into a thing like, oh, carbs are bad for you or whatever. And then they believe that and they're scared of them. And yeah, it's sad. Sorry, that was a bit of a...
It is sad. No, it's so spot on. I think the other thing, I mean, well, it's very lovely to hear. It's very lovely to know that there are PTs, or at least one, here you are, that will like be looking at it from that point of view, especially to the extent that if someone comes to you and goes, I need to lose weight, you'd be, that there'll be, you know, even if it's not the first thing you ask straight back, because it's actually, let's look into why.
Yeah.
But it's, I think, I can only speak from my own experience. I've worked with so many fascinating people now in terms of in fitness, because I found something I love. But I think there's an element of, can we find something you love? I mean, I think that's the only reason I would ever be. I'm very careful with my I'm very careful with my social media. Every now and again, like that brilliant This Girl Can campaign sent me a t-shirt and a tote bag. And I was like, well, I've just learned to do a handstand at 36, 37 at the time. I will
do a handstand, take a picture. A
yes.
Why but that's the hell not?
Yeah, that's as close as I ever want to get to being anybody's fucking fitspiration.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I'm not going to pretend that this is rock solid and I never question it. But ultimately, I found an exercise I love doing. And I do it because it's something I genuinely, for the first time now, I look forward to doing it, and I enjoy it. What I enjoy it in advance of it, I enjoy it while I'm doing it, and I love how it makes me feel afterwards. And it's opened the doors to other types of exercise, because now I'm not viewing moving my body through the prism of, and at the end of this, you'll be thin and then you'll be happy. It's about, well, you just do it if you're happy now, and you do. And now I'm so far along the line of that I am aware that there are. You know, there's frustration and discomfort with, like, I've just done Couch to 5K, and I thought I hated running, but I was like, well, because my weightlifting in the last year has been in the context of CrossFit, where bits of running come up, and I had a psychological block on it, in the sense that, like, if there was any workout that came up with even 100 meter running it, I'd be like, oh, fuck it out. And there are a few movements like that I just hate, and it's like, I do know that my body can do that movement, it's just not practiced in it. So let's see if, like, and I do think the Couch to 5K is genius in how it's, well, it's certainly, funnily enough, a lady was waxing my tuppence.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about how Couch to 5K has changed her life, blah, blah, blah.
Brilliant.
And I was like, do you know what? If it's that, why not? And then I thought, well, just see. I'll do week one, where it's like a minute's running and then a nice long walk again and again. And I was like, oh, I think, you know, I can do that, actually. And I think it's very well designed in the sense that how it builds up to longer runs. And the first time I ran for 20 minutes without stopping, afterwards, very involuntarily, I had a little cry at how chuffed I was with myself.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. And so have you completed that now?
Yeah.
So you can run 5K?
Well, it doesn't... No, I run... My run, let's be clear, is more of a bouncy walk.
Yeah, but Jess, that is what running is. So this is another thing that I think is really important, is that I speak to a few people who are like, oh, I can't run. I hate running. I can't do it. Yeah. And I had an absolute breakthrough with running a few years ago, because I was the same. I thought, well, I run for 5 minutes and I'm dead. You know, I don't want to, I can't. How do people keep like doing that?
I genuinely, I don't know if you've ever had anyone say this to you as a personal trainer. I had to say to everyone I've ever had, I don't like to be out of breath.
Right, yeah. Brilliant.
And that's quite hard to hear, yeah, I think. That... Yeah. But yeah. I don't mind being... I actually have made my peace with it a bit, thanks Brilliant. To CrossFit.
Yeah, because like, that's good for you.
I don't want to feel like I'm about to be sick, pass out. Mm. And I've got very, like, big legs. And well, they're not long, but wide. And when that... You know when you get to the point where your leg is shaking... I don't like that. Mm. I don't like feeling out of control, but I don't mind now being out of breath to a sort of middle point where I'm like, I'm not going to die. It's just, my body's just asking for a bit more oxygen.
But also, don't you get out of breath when you weightlift at CrossFit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're all right with that now?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh.
Up to a point. As soon as my legs start wobbling, I think, I feel really out of control.
Yes.
And if I start to feel queasy or like faint, I like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't finish this one. I'm taking a minute.
Yeah. But that's the thing about running. It really is a bouncy walk. And I think if people could, you've got to think of it as going for a jog.
Yeah,
I used to think I had to run and I'd run. And of course, you get to a point where... You can't go, especially if you do CrossFit, because that's very high reps. It's bash it out. It's as many rounds as possible. It's, you know, every minute on the minute. So it's quite, the energy system that you're in there is about like quick, fast, fast twitch muscle fibers.
Yeah, sprinty. I think that's what I like. I like the sprints and then the longer ones where,
exactly.
But I just have to go, I have to, more than anything, go, I don't compare, you know, no comparing, no goals. I quite work well with having zero goals and going, I just have to be just me in my own head. And the goal for this is to just keep moving all through it.
No, literally, and so that's it. Yeah. And that's all it needs.
I feel guilty because I feel like I'm getting a free therapy and
you can have it.
It's not free. Personal training.
It's not free. Speaking of which,
I did send you a Kit Kat Chunky Biscoff limited edition Biscoff flavour. Should we try it before I run out of tea?
Yes. Now,
have you got a cup of tea?
I have got a cup of tea, and I've been trying to keep it warm because I do have quite a small temperature window when it comes to tea.
Okay.
Oh, put too much milk in it. Nightmare.
Do you want to microwave it?
No. I don't have a microwave. Right. Okay. Can I just say, have you ever used that as a straw for a cup of tea?
No.
Oh, my God. Very excited.
What's going to happen to me?
Well, first of all, what we're going to have to do is bite off each end.
Great, because I love doing that anyway.
Oh, great.
Wrap her off.
Wrap her off.
Totally nude. It's a Biscoff special Kit Kat Chunky.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting that soft bit.
Yeah, really nice. I better get a little picture of the Biscoff innard. That's yours. Oh, yeah. Okay, other end.
Teeth marks in that.
This is how I'd eat a Kit Kat Chunky normally. Is it how you would?
Do you know what? I haven't had one for ages, and I feel like they've got smaller. Do you? I feel like they're creeping towards the size of a normal... finger.
I think I have regular meetings with them, and so I've probably not noticed it.
Now this needs to happen. So try you're gonna have to suck on that a few times.
Okay, great.
Until a little bit of tea reaches the mouth.
Okay. And it's just a case of one in right.
Yeah. Did you get some tea through there?
I did.
Go for a couple more and then bite into it.
Okay, suck end or tea end?
Tea end, right. Now let's go for a bite and see if that... I don't know if that's hot enough.
Oh, what? That's so good.
Oh, my God. That is gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
I think it works
better
with a classic Kit Kat.
Yeah, I think it might... But I still... The flavour of the tea up through the wafer and the Biscoff.
That is delicious.
What an absolute... You've really taught me something special there.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That is what I wanted to do today.
That is memorable and delicious. Also, it feels really like... A bit like the burger, like... It feels like a visceral, glorious, satisfying way to eat a thing.
What? On Zoom?
As in... Well, no, to just dunk it in there and suck the tea up through
it. Yeah.
Then, because then you kind of can't fuck about. You've got to just eat it then. There's no, like...
Exactly.
It's no daintiness. There's no...
I'd
love one day... If I ever were to have any input into a place where people paid to come and eat, you know, like a restaurant or whatever, or a cafe or something, I would love it to be the sort of place where the food was incredible, but that this is how you're encouraged to eat.
Yeah.
Like...
With
naked.
A recommended ritual.
Yeah. Yes,
Actually, me and my brother...
And it to be hands in, you know, and chompy and big and mucky.
Yeah, I'd go often.
Great.
But me and my brother have this thing where we say, do this, like a recommended way of eating something. So if you're eating something that's amazing, or you're eating the same thing, but you realise that a particularly good combination in a mouth is this with that, we say, do this.
Do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
And then you have to do it to try it.
Yes. Do you know what? A sip of tea with the Biscoff in that, now it's gone all squidge. Fuck, it's so good. That's so nice. The tea tastes extra tea-y. It tastes really fresh. Mine's gone a bit cold, but it's sort of working.
Mine's cold. But you do, what I quite liked about the Biscoff in that Kit Kat is that it really gives it the biscuity edge that a classic biscuit dunk would do.
Yeah.
Whilst still remaining Kit Kat-y.
Fuck yeah. This has been my favourite eating hoovering for a long time.
Oh.
I got so hungry for it as well before this record.
Yeah.
Everything's just, the stars have aligned. In terms of where my head, heart, mouth and tum are.
No, same. Same.
Ready for this lunch and this chat.
Mm.
I'm going to ask you some quick fire nonsense.
Okay, yeah, great.
Have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day?
No. Yes and no to that, because I did quite recently do a project with an incredible photographer where I did do a naked photo shoot and... for that, I decided to do a kind of prep for it.
Right.
But mainly to kind of experience what that was like. You know, I researched a trainer that I really wanted to work with and I'd been following him for years and I've learned a lot from him and he's not about, you know, anything silly like getting, it's really kind of, I really love the way he works. So I worked with him and... I still didn't eat the same thing every day because I really do love food. And for me, it is, yes, it's fuel, but it will never be just a functional thing for me. I get really sad if a meal is not very good. You know, if I cook something, it's a bit disappointing. I find it really disproportionately disappointing. So,
I hear you. It's so nice to hear that from a fitness person.
Oh, God.
In my head, like, I think the people that manage to treat, you can tell when someone's, like, constantly, like, adapting their body for their sport and that's their life, do find that people that, or because they're, an actor that needs to stay tiny or a jockey or someone who needs to stay, like, get... You know, and now I'm doing this type of weightlifting, so I need to bulk up. And now I'm doing, but now I want to up my gymnastics, so I'm just going to lose this weight. And I find that the people that can just do that generally don't say what you just said. They say, nah, it's just fuel, isn't it? And you're like, I can fucking bawl my eyes out for half a day because I let myself get a bit peckish. Like, or because, you know, just the prospect of, I don't know. It's so much more complicated than that.
In some ways, I respect it, the kind of detail.
Yeah, me too. And I'm in awe of it sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Because life's too short, I think.
Yes. 5-second rule, yes or no?
That's going to depend where and what. If it's...
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, if it's something that stuff can stick to, no. If it's a crisp, fine.
Great, yeah. Something you can blow, and it's
if
not
I can
just
blow
gonna,
it off. Yeah.
So if you can huff the dirt off,
exactly,
that's a good rule.
Quick blow and it'll go in, but otherwise, no.
Is there anything that you hate or love that everybody else does the opposite of?
Oh, well, I don't like fish, and I wish I did. It's very good for you, but I really don't like that.
It's a food I love that I can 100% understand why anyone would hate.
Yeah.
Get the smell wrong even and you're like, no, no, no. What? A bone? No, no, no. That'd ruin it.
Eyes.
Yeah, not quite off. Oh, eyes. No, yeah, no eyes. No, yeah, there's loads of things wrong with it. I feel like it's the sort of thing I'm like, I love it, but am I a perv? I feel the same about eggs.
It's brilliant. Oh, no, I love eggs.
Like, oh, I love eggs. And then you're like, but I can understand why someone would hate them.
Yeah.
And this is disgusting. Do you want to know something really disgusting?
I don't know
why I'm telling you. But the other night, I did a fart. I was reading my son a story at bedtime and I sneaked what I thought was a harmless fart out. And he got a bit further under the covers and he went, I can smell eggs. And I was like, I have to apologise. I've farted into your bed.
Had you had eggs?
And I had a long time ago, but yes, in the day, I was like, that's my fart you can smell. And he went, I don't mind it. Can we have eggs tomorrow? And I was like,
It advertised eggs.
Oh, God. I farted an advert for scrambled eggs. And,
Amazing.
I disgusted myself.
That's like so disgusting that it's almost like not. You know, when you've done it, if you can do a fart that smells like food. It's gone full circle. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think it's worse. I think it's like in the same way that it's worse if you smell someone's poo that someone's tried to mask with perfume.
Yes.
Like agreed. The smell of shit through deodorant is worse.
It's worse.
Than shit. Just shit. Yeah. Just let shit be shit. And I also don't want the smell of shitty air to smell of a food. But I mean, it worked for a 5-year-old and they are disgusting. They're innately disgusting. Well, I really regret telling you, but I've done it now. Hangover, what are you having?
A classic while I decide would be a pack of salt and vinegar squares and a can of Coke. And that will take me into what am I having to properly deal with.
Yeah.
I don't drink loads these days, but also I can be really hungover after not very much alcohol, so I'll be needing crisps on standby.
It very ebbs and shifts, doesn't it? Lockdown one, just drank on through it, and the summer. The more recent lockdowns, I say that actually not constantly, but then the more recent lockdowns, I've been like, no, don't. Just take a bit like you were saying about, well, not none, but going, you don't need to, like, just have a drink. Do you fancy a drink? Yeah. Okay. Have one.
Yeah. Brilliant. Moderation.
And it's like, oh, I can do that, actually. I'm not already my parents and I can do that. And what that's meant is, on the odd occasion where you do go, no, I'm having another one and another one, I feel very rotten the next day. My tolerance has gone to shit.
Yes, yeah, same.
And we've got a lovely summer ahead of us in the park where I'm sure we can sort out that actual problem. I love a salt and vinegar square. I don't think you can go wrong. Anyone who doesn't like that, I think I'd be like, well,
that would be a deal breaker in terms of friendship for me, I think.
Yeah, I think you go, oh, you found the boundary of my empathy there, and it's a hard wall, it's a dam.
How do you feel about disco? While we're on salt and vinegar.
Big fan.
Yeah, same. Can I just check? Do you ever remember, nobody remembers this, but there was a very brief time, circa late 90s, when discos in the packet had an extra bag sachet of the salt and vinegar flavour. And it was like extreme. And it was only in some bags.
What?
Yeah, no, honestly.
Really?
Nobody remembers it, but
I'd love it.
Often I'd got love that. It was also one of those things where, you know, it was hardly a gamble because chances are you're going to get one.
I've had an involuntary mouth reaction to that news.
Yeah, no,
and I couldn't be fuller. Like I'm really like I'm stuffed and happy and sated, and still the thought of extra salt and vinegar flavouring on an already one of the most potent and fierce.
Exactly. Yeah, it was incredible. And actually it was too much to have on its own. I love a salt and vinegar crisp that makes my mouth feel like it's bleeding by the end of the bag.
Yeah, and itching and bleeding.
Yeah. And it was like that. and borderline too much to try not on a crisp.
Great.
Anyway.
Fucking hell.
That was many years ago.
Well, if they do sort time travel out in our lifetime, Nikki, we know what we're doing
first. I'll take you right back there.
Take me back to 1999.
and let's have a disco.
Brilliant. Oh, I snorted.
Yum in my tum.
A magical turnip does a spell on humans out of furiousness at having weirdly gone out of fashion, despite being delicious. And the spell is that every time a human tries to drink a liquid, it turns to sand. It's awful. At first, it's just dusty and coughing and everybody really having more gravies and custards than usual and chewing them a lot, so they definitely don't count as a drink. But eventually, obviously, the real implications become obvious and we realise we're all going to perish. But the magical turnip agrees to break the shitty spell, but only if you, and really it does have to be you, agree to throw a 15 kilogram bag of rice over. Do you know, if you've ever seen the Highland Games, there's a move where they have to throw a heavy thing up very, very high. You have to throw it up over a very tall lorry over and over again for 35 hours, all the while singing Tina Turner's Private Dancer on a loop. Wow. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! Your reward is a place in history as the woman who saved us all from a lifetime of, well, from death, actually, from the old sand liquid.
Yes.
And
dehydration.
You are, exactly, you are, you couldn't be happier. Everyone was like, yeah, you're the new god. Yeah, you are a god, actually. Like, it's... You don't need to work again, ever. You can do what you like. The work, like, everything. You couldn't be more happy as a clam. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams, and it's a fantasy feast. And bearing in mind, you are hungry because you've done all that.
Yeah, I'd be starving.
Rice over the lorry business. So you couldn't be happier. You couldn't be hungrier. The food doesn't have to exist. I don't care about any consequences, ethical, health, etc., etc., etc. What in that scenario would be the feast of your dreams? And if there's a who, with, and where, who, with, and where?
Oh, God. That's, well, no, probably not rice, because I'd be sick of it by that point. I'm thinking it would probably be, for the sake of the fantasy question, a sort of tapas of everything I've ever loved, which is quite a lot of things food-wise. And I'm not necessarily one to mix and match, but I think in this case I would. So there would be some kind of mains feast, which might be, I quite like Greek food, might be a big Greek spread or Turkish, that kind of thing, which is a bit tapas-y. But then I'd have some additional, there'd be a bag of those discos there with the sachet. I have got a great snack, which is a bowl full of sweet and salty popcorn from Tesco specifically, unfortunately.
Okay, yes.
Because it's the best one. And crispy M&Ms combined.
Ooh.
So there would be kind of gigantic bowls of that.
Yep.
For, you know, palate cleansers.
Great.
And there would be quite a few bars of every flavour of Tony's chocolate only.
Okay, great. Yeah. Very nice.
That's the best chocolate. And then, great. Yeah, but in terms of, well, I'd just be so hungry at that stage, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Lots of delicious foods.
Yeah.
Cheese. You know, probably some meat, maybe. You know, just to have a little bit of.
There's no consequences, so you can have loads of meat.
Brilliant, yeah. Everything. And who, everyone that I know who I haven't been able to see for a year.
Yeah. Okay, it's going to be quite a big bash then.
Yeah, it's going to be a big bash. And it's going to be indoors just because we can.
Really cramped in a corner of a restaurant.
Yeah. And there will be some jalapeno grillers there. And I'd be inviting you, Jess, just to try that.
Just specifically to finally have a jalapeno griller.
I'd need you to start with that.
I promised you I'd source. Okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah. I'll be there and I'll do it.
Great.
Thank you very much for doing this.
No, thanks so much. I feel like I could have talked to you for hours about
I know. I could have cracked on for hours as well.
Got other shit I've got to do, annoyingly. Otherwise, I would. Maybe we'll do a part two one day.
Brilliant.
What a beautiful guest. Who even knew you could get really personal training? Not me. Make sure to get following her on the Instagram. It's at Nikki Hobday, and it's Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, Hobday, H-O-B-D-A-Y. And you'll find out about her theatre performance work, but also there's loads of such interesting and clever insights about gym life and making gyms psychologically accessible. She's written pieces about that. It's such an interesting and novel and refreshing take on gym type things, I think. And eating, and so nice to eat stuff like that with a fitness lady. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews and recommendations, or with your actual money if you like, either on Acast Supporter or on Patreon. Links to those things, to Nikki's Instagram, and to everything else interesting that we mentioned in the podcast, as ever, are in the podcast notes. Follow the podcast on social media, at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me, at Jessica Fosterkew. Anything longer than a tweet to send me, you can email me through my website, and that's also where you'll find my rescheduled tour dates. It's jessicafosterkew.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.